beaten by the law. I saw a world where the girls stay strong. The boys have respect dialect for their mom. The dads of the lands had a plan for the fam. And through all they max a mag in the can. I hand the torch to the kids on the porch, giving them a yard the size of a golf course. Don't force the youth indoors. The truth in the end, you command yourself for the fruit.
Put yourself pedestal high. Put yourself up. Put yourself up. Put yourself pedestal high. Child, you know you're worth it. Put yourself pedestal high, come on. Put yourself up, put yourself up. Put yourself pedestal high. Child, you'll stay deadly strong until you die. Steadily deadly strong until you die. Steadily deadly. Will I go stir crazy on this train, on this plane of existence, or will I go the distance? Will I go stir crazy on this train, on this plane of existence? Or will I go the distance? I'm getting caught in my third eye, seeing things I never seen before, making me wise, intellectualized on the powers that be and the people they stand for. Permeate my senses with the world that entrenches on me, not stability or irritability, but ability trained.
What's up to technical difficulties? You're still listening to CITR 101.9 FM.
Welcome to the Pedal Revolutionary Show. You're listening to 101.9 FM on your radio dial. We're out here at the beautiful snow-encumbered UBC campus. And kudos to everybody who's out there riding their bikes today. If you are on a bicycle route and you notice that it is unplowed or uncleared, you may want to give the city a telephone call. The Neighborhood Transportation Branch of Engineering Services phone number is 604-871-6070. Or you can email them at cycling@vancouver.ca. I know it seems decorative. decadent to have plowed bike routes or salted bike routes, but keep in mind that they do salt and plow the walking paths in Vancouver quite regularly. While we don't have to be number one priority, it would be nice to be maybe number three priority. So I do encourage you to give the city an indication of how you're feeling about going through the ruts in the road. We're going to do a show today about touring. There are some people who have been smart enough to get the heck out of Vancouver for the winter. Some people have just come back. And so we're going to talk to some of those folks today. We have a lot of people in the studio here today. It's getting quite steamy. And we actually have someone on the line as we speak. Now, there's a gentleman out there who's doing a walking tour. He does a series of walks. He's a photographer and a performance artist. His name is Aaron Veldstra. And at the moment, he's walking to find a cure for cars.
That's beautiful.
Okay. Isn't that lovely? So at the moment, he's walking from California to Vancouver. And so we're gonna speak with him as we go here. His last walk was Newfoundland, actually last year. Pretty amazing stuff. Thank God he's got long legs. So Aaron, are you there? Can you hear us?
Oh, I can hear you. Yeah.
Did I get that stuff right?
Yeah, you got it all right. Except I don't know if I'll make it all the way to Vancouver. You know, I've got limited funds here, and I've got a bit of a time limit.
What's your time limit?
Yeah, I'll get as far as I can.
Okay, and what kind of time limit are you on?
Well, I've got until sometime in March, and I've got a bit of a financial time limit, but it's doing well so far. It's doing well. So I should be able to make it to at least Oregon.
Excellent. So I know you're friends with David Ripa, who's here with us in the studio today, and maybe you guys want to take off and have a little conversation about what's going on.
Aaron, can you hear me? Aaron?
Hello.
Hey, how are you, bud?
Oh, not too bad, not too bad. I'm just in San Bonaventure State Park. It's a beautiful evening here. I just have the sun going down over the ocean. Quite lovely.
I've been reading your adventures on your website there that you've been updating quite regularly. Can you tell us some stories about your journey so far?
Well, it's been quite good. The first little bit in San Diego was a bit of a screw around. I had a bit of a problem finding a good route. The people at the Coast Walk told me that there was a trail all the way, but I've had to pretty much stick to roads up until recently. I've just finally found a stretch which is pretty much all beach. It's pretty nice, but it's taken probably about 200 miles to get to it.
My
feet are kind of hurting, but they aren't too bad. I should be going through Santa Barbara sometime late this evening.
Oh, that sounds very nice. I bet you the weather's a lot better there than it is here. Well, actually,
talking about the weather, it's been quite cool down here, as a matter of fact. A lot of the citrus growers in the region have been experiencing some difficulty with the oranges. It's been drastically cold to what they're used to, and everybody's been complaining about it. I've been loving it myself because it's pretty glorious.
I wanted to ask you, Aaron, what kind of shoes are you wearing for such a walk?
I'm wearing some A-Solo hiking boots that I got from Deakin. They're pretty good. They're holding up really well. I can't really complain about them.
Are they hiking boots or what kind of shoes are they?
Oh yeah, they're definitely hiking boots, and they've got reinforced areas and in the high impact zones. That's how the salesperson told me, at least.
Hey Aaron, I'm pretty happy that you're still alive. I was reading that you had a near death experience. Can you tell us something about that?
Oh yes, the pole. That was really quite frightening, actually. I was camped out next to a busy road that has, like, zero shoulder. I stopped there because there was zero shoulder and the night was descending. And about in the middle of the night, some crazy... I don't think he was drunk because I heard him talking later on. He didn't sound it. But he hit a pole, like, within about 10 meters of me. And the pole came crashing down to the ground and screeched to a stop. And then I heard the car, like, hit something else, and the horn got stuck on for about 30 to 20 minutes. It was really annoying trying to sleep through that. But yeah, later on the repair crews came along and they fixed everything up, and a police helicopter came around and flew all over me and shone its light on me. I thought I was going to get busted, but nothing happened, thank God. I guess they don't really care about people in tarps.
By the way, if people want to see the website that that Aaron has about his walk, you can go to http://puddle.ca/ that little squiggly mark. What's it called?
A tilde.
That's
a tilde. So you put a puddle.ca/tilde LBA/California.
Hey, Aaron, as you know, you're on a bicycle show. Can you tell me something about bicycles in the military?
Yeah, actually, I ran into this really wonderful person named Gil. He's a parks volunteer, state parks volunteer, and he just sort of cruises around from park to park with his bike and his trailer and just sort of picks up garbage and just helps around. He actually gave me a can of Chef Boyardee and a bottle, one of those little cups of Mr. Noodles and a frying pan. And, yeah, it was awesome, really. Totally helped me out for the night. I got dropped off there with enough supplies for the next day, but I didn't have anything for dinner. So it was awesome.
Isn't it nice when you're kind of out, if you're in a car, it's really hard to meet other people when you're doing road trips. And if you're walking or if you're cycling, it's a lot easier to kind of access the people that you encounter on the road.
Oh, yeah, that's one of the joys of walking and cycling, I think. Yeah. In a car, you just sort of blow past all that, you know, and you sort of get a vague idea what the scenery is like, but you don't actually get to experience the landscape and experience the environs, you know what I mean? Like, that's the beauty of traveling, really, is getting to feel a part of the landscape.
Absolutely, I agree with you. Is there anything else you would like to tell us, or?
Well, I was thinking about Camp Pendleton, because apparently you're not allowed to walk across that, and I had to take a train across.
Camp Pendleton, Aaron?
If there was a bunch of people available up in Vancouver, we could come down here and have a critical mass across Camp Pendleton. I think it would be great.
Aaron, what's Camp Pendleton, just for people who don't know?
Oh, Camp Pendleton is in between San Diego, or rather the top part of San Diego, which is like La Jolla and that area, and very bottom of L.A. County. The top of Camp Pendleton is on the border of L.A. County.
And it's not
a rather large military installation. And it's a beautiful bike ride if you get the chance to get your bike through there. They've got a really wonderful route through it, but apparently you're not allowed to walk.
What are there special regulations for cyclists going through that military base?
I didn't really ask about it. I was more concerned with walking. But apparently you can just cycle right on through. There's the old Pacific Highway is pretty much unused except for bicycles. There's two lanes on it for bikes, one on the one side, one on the other side, and then the middle is like all broken concrete with like bits of sagebrush coming through. It's really wonderful. I really was hoping to walk it, but whatever, I guess Marine Corps, they have the rules, you know. You can't walk.
So you're saying that you're outnumbered. You would have walked it, but they had you outnumbered.
Oh yeah, they had me outnumbered. Yeah, for sure.
So where are you going to be? Where are you right now, by the way?
San Bonaventure State Park.
Okay.
It's just past Ventura City, which is in Ventura County. Just past the shores of Malibu.
And how many
kilometers? I walked through Malibu the day before.
Okay. Now, how many kilometers are you making a day?
It's today, because everything's in miles down here.
Okay,
I've
how many miles?
I've roughly been doing about 25 miles a day, which is around about 35 clicks.
Okay.
Today, I'm going to go for a hardcore day. I'm going to go and walk until midnight, I think, because I've been waiting for this phone call. But, yeah.
You got a lot of pent-up walking.
It's going to be a good day, I think.
Well, super. Well, listen, thank you so much for calling into us, and we really appreciate you you saving your steps for walking till midnight, so good luck with that.
Hey, no problem. It's going to be a glorious night, I think. It's clear skies, actually, it's probably a new moon now, but I think it'll be all right.
The stars will be out in spades.
Thanks, buddy.
Oh,
we'll talk to you soon,
And there's highway lights all over the place.
We'll talk to you soon, okay, Aaron?
Thanks a lot for calling me.
Take care, bud.
Take care of yourself.
Ciao.
Awesome. And just to read you a little piece from Aaron's website here, it says, "The Walk for the Cure for Cars is not a fundraiser, though it borrows the idea that the simple act of walking is deliberate and effectual. This project is an investigation of North American car culture by foot. It's a simple solution to a complex issue, but beauty lies in simplicity. Rather than ignoring the issue or standing stunned in its headlights, the project takes literally the proverb that a journey begins with a simple step." So if you want to visit that website again, you can go to puddle.ca/squigglylba/California. And also at any point, if anyone has any questions for any of our guests, you can give us a call, 604-UBC-CITR. Again, you're listening to the Pedal Revolutionary Show, and we are crammed with people, so let's talk to some of the people we have in the studio. I know, Kristen, you were just nodding. You have actually biked through that military base, right?
Yes, I have, Ifni.
Yeah, go ahead. Tell us about that.
It's actually pretty interesting. There are a lot of roadies riding around there because there's not that many cars. There's tanks in the military base.
And you don't mean the people who carry gear for bands?
No, I don't mean that. I mean spandex. Lots of spandex going on there.
Okay.
And they seem to be riding around in circles trying to get better time. They're obviously not trying to get anywhere. Yeah.
So it's kind of it's not necessarily for people who are actually on the road traveling. It's for maybe people who live in the area?
It's for both. We were a little concerned when we were in LA and someone told us that we might not be able to go onto the base since 9/11 because it has been a way for cyclists to deke out the I-5 going down into San Diego. But we called ahead and they said you just need to have a passport.
Okay.
And they check, there's military checkpoints, and they check your passport and then you get to ride on through. So it wasn't really a hassle for us. Although it was very different riding on a military base.
And maybe you can also just tell us some, you've just gotten back from being on the road, and maybe you can tell us a bit about where you were traveling and who you were traveling with.
Right. I was traveling with my partner, Ryan, who might even be on the phone a little bit later. And we cycled from Vancouver down to San Diego. And then I flew home to Vancouver here. And he is continuing down. He's probably a couple of days out of Tijuana now, I think. I haven't really talked to him. I don't know if he's been able to get to the internet very much. So I'm hoping he's okay.
And because you guys were keeping a pretty fantastic website while you were traveling, right? You had GPS and all this stuff. Do you want to give people the address and tell us a bit about that?
The address is www.yeske.ca. So you can log on, and my partner Ryan is kind of a techie, so he put in all kinds of map tents of where we stayed, and then you can access our blog and all of our photos as well. Yeah, it was a pretty good excuse just to hit up every single public library from here to San Diego.
So it's the tour to library?
It was the tour to library, and then in San Jose, I guess, Ryan decided he needed a computer because he's... He loves computers, so when we were in Silicon Valley and there's a ton of refurbished computers, we just picked one up cheap. So, yeah, it was nice to have some little side projects on the trip, and computing was one of Ryan's side projects. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is this the first time that you guys have toured together?
We toured we did a couple tours together, but they were very short, small tours, overnighters, and tours for 2 or 3 days. So this was the first big tour. We were on the road for 3 months. At least I was on the road for 3 months, and then he's still continuing, just past the third month now.
Hmm. So, but you've done also some touring in BC as well.
Yeah, just little tours out to Golden Ears a couple times and camping out there, and then up to Squamish, and then up to the coast, up to the Sunshine Coast, just to stay with Ryan's mom and dad. So, yeah, nothing too long and involved. But this was the first tour with tons of gear. Yeah, it was very challenging.
Because you guys had trailers too, right?
I had a trailer, and Ryan had 4 panniers, with a little bag on the back too, because... We just kept on amassing more and more stuff because it was cold. And winter touring is definitely a challenge. The people who we met out there were more... They didn't seem to be tourers who had a timeline. They were people who had been on the road for a long time. It was kind of... Meeting people who... Biking was more of a lifestyle. I think if you went in the summer and did the trip that we did, you would see a lot more people with less gear just doing, you know, a fast tour. But yeah, for us, we took our time. We seemed to meet people who were doing that as well. Hmm. Yeah.
And you mentioned having some side projects, and I see that you're wearing one of your little side projects here. Kristen, for those of you, I know we have a million people in the studio, but for all the people who aren't, she's wearing a little felt hand-sewn owl. So can you maybe talk about what you guys did on the road to kind of keep busy and also add to your funds? Because Aaron also mentioned funding, which can be a bit of a challenge when people take off work for 6 months or whatever.
Yeah. I must say first, though, that bicycle touring doesn't cost very much. I was surprised. I thought we'd blow through more money, but it's totally the cheapest and the best way to travel, I think. In terms of side projects, I am a toy maker. And so I made a lot of stuffed toys when I was on the road, and I sold them on Etsy, which is a craft community where you can open up a store. So that's also on the website if you want to see some of the crafts, you can have a look. Yeah, so it was good on the days when it was super rainy and we were bored and had nothing to do. I would just sit and craft. Yeah, so that was part of the trip. I also took the opportunity to look at every public library that we hit up for patterns and all kinds of different stuff, crafting stuff. So yeah, it was pretty exciting to have a project aside from cycling, something else to think about. It was really nice to be able to leave stuff for people too, because a lot of people invited us into their homes, and we would just leave them a little surprise when we left. It's nice to leave something handmade. People really appreciate it.
So having souvenirs then is one thing that is a nice thing to bring, that people can think about bringing with them. And if you make it as you go, then it doesn't weigh you down.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's really nice. We met another couple who are from Victoria, and they just made art for people when they stayed at people's houses. Yeah, so it's a really nice gesture, I think.
And you mentioned costs. So how much was it costing you guys? And you were traveling through the U.S., which is, of course, probably one of the more expensive places to travel.
Okay, Ryan did a good job of keeping track of this at the beginning. And then
we can ask
stop.
Him later.
You should ask him. We tried to free camp as much as we could. And other places we stayed in parks. In California, it's $3 per person for hiker-biker camping. So we tried to hit that up whenever we needed showers. And then we tried to stay with people, weasel our way into people's homes as much as we could, which was fun and a challenge.
How did you meet people on the road?
Oh, all kinds of different ways. Sometimes people would just stop us if it was raining and just say, what are we doing? Like, do we need to come to their house and dry off?
How do they say it? What are you doing? Do they say it like that?
Sometimes.
Yeah. I know a lot of people stop and offer Aaron rides while he's walking
yeah.
as well, and he usually has to, no, I'm okay, thank you.
Yeah, yeah. We wouldn't take rides, but we'd take a place to stay for sure. Ryan was reading some website about touring. I think it's the Ken Kiefer website, but I can't be sure. But one of the tips he gave was if someone does talk to you or stops you and is talking to you and you need a place to stay, if you don't want to be too forward in saying, you know, can I stay at your house? You just say to them, can I throw a tent down on your lawn? Because if you ask them, is there somewhere to camp? They'll direct you to like a campground. And then, yeah, we did that a couple times. And sure enough, the people just asked us into their home after we started talking to them. So, yeah, so just ask them, is there anywhere I could throw a tent down? Yeah, and they're really receptive to that.
I know you also mentioned something when we spoke the other day about campgrounds and residency.
Yeah, there's lots of issues in Southern California, especially. I must say, if anyone's thinking about touring the Pacific Coast, that I did not enjoy Southern California at all. I enjoyed Northern California immensely. The people were amazing and beautiful, and there were amazing people in Southern California as well. I don't want to stereotype everyone, but there is a real fear of transience in Southern California. People see it as a real problem that people are staying in campgrounds for more than a night. So they put all these safeguards in place to exclude people from staying there for a long-term thing.
So you should enjoy nature, but not too much.
Yeah, you should enjoy nature if you have money and you're in an RV.
Only if it's purely decadent, but if it's actually a practical application of nature, then...
Yeah, okay. Then you shouldn't enjoy it so much. Yeah, they would make sure that people who were cycling or walking checked in at 4:30, and then you had to check out at 9, and these were... The other people could check in at 2, and they could leave at 11 the next day, and then you couldn't re-enter the park for 48 hours. So it made me feel very sad just to think that people weren't including homeless people in, in their thoughts, or, they're just very fearful of homeless people.
So you're back now. We have you to hang on to, and we're going to hear from Ryan a little bit later. Again, if anybody has any questions, feel free to give the station a call, 604-UBCCITR. You can also go, you can send us an email, too, and our email address is pedalrevolutionary@gmail.com. In the meantime, we're going to listen to a little bit of a song, and this is courtesy of, this was brought to my attention by Flick Harrison. Thank you, Flick. It's a song called Medway Wheelers by Billy Childers. Excellent. So again, that was Billy Childers with a song called Medway Wheelers. And Medway Wheelers is a song actually about his mom and her exploits with a local cycling club called the Medway Wheelers. And that was back in 1944. She had a Hop Supreme bicycle. So touring has been going on for quite a while, as long as bicycles have been around, even longer. We're going to talk to a couple more people in the studio here, and we're just waiting for Ryan to give us a call. One of the other things that I wanted to mention to everybody, maybe you have been, if you do integrated transport with public transit and your bicycle, you may have noticed that you are not able to put your bicycle on the newer buses because bicycles, when they're on the bike racks, block the headlights, unfortunately. So we're going to find a number for people to call because actually BC Transit it's not up to BC Transit anymore. It's out of their hands. So next show we'll be talking a bit more about that, but for the moment, keep in mind that you cannot take your bicycle on the bus, on the newer buses anymore after dark. Twilight time is when you can begin to do that. Okay, so it looks like we've got Ryan on the line. Ryan, can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
Excellent. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
So you are touring as we speak?
Yes, I am.
You're reporting back to us from the front. Where are you?
I'm in San Vicente, Mexico.
Ooh.
Baja, California.
Ooh, excellent. How is it down there?
It looks like it's going to rain in a few minutes here.
Oh, yeah, we feel your pain.
Yeah.
it's snowing and slushing up here. When did you and Kristen leave Vancouver?
We left on October 2nd.
October 2nd, okay. Can you maybe tell us, how much longer are you planning to be on the road?
3 weeks or a month.
Okay.
I'm going to go down to La Paz.
Okay.
The end of the Baja.
How was it crossing the border with the bike?
Into Mexico?
Yeah.
It was no problem at all. Through Tijuana, you pretty much just walk across or bike across. You need a tourist visa to go past Ensenada. So mm-hmm. I knew I needed to get that, and I had to ask around where to go to actually buy that.
Cool.
And, yeah, they didn't check anything, nothing like that.
We were just talking with Kristen about finances. So how much was it costing you guys per day about while you were traveling through the U.S.?
While we were keeping a budget, I think it was somewhere between $200 and $300 a day, which was...
A day?
No, $200 or $300 per week.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
Woo! It's like living it up at the Ritz.
And that was at the beginning through Washington, and we were picking up a lot of gear and things we didn't have.
Right.
And we didn't really keep a strict budget after that, so we didn't keep track, but I don't think it was... much more. It's around that for the whole way.
What were some of the things that you had to pick up as you were going?
I bought a blanket, clothes. It was a lot colder than we thought it would be.
Right. And there was something that happened with Kristen's bike as well. She was riding a good old Canadian bicycle, right?
That's right.
Yes,
yeah,
I was.
She had a bunch of problems with her drivetrain and derailleur hanger that we had to constantly fix and eventually broke and replace. But
wow. And I think it was it difficult for you to replace those things? I mean, I understand that there was some issue with being able to get the exact derailleur that you needed.
When we went to a lot of small shops through Northern California, we would ask them about it, and they said, oh, there's thousands of those you need to, you know, what kind of bike is that? We don't know what kind of bike that is. There's no way you can get it, or we'd have to order it or something. And, but when it finally broke, we went to a shop that, once we found a part number, they just had it in stock, and it was no problem.
And how did you find the bike number? I mean, the part number, sorry.
I downloaded a catalog of derailleur hangers from the internet.
Nice.
And just matched it up visually, and yeah. It wasn't too difficult. Once we actually sat down and tried to match it with something.
Hi, baby. I was just going to say that I was thankful that I was touring with someone that would do all that work, because, yeah, I don't know if I would ever be able to find the derailleur hanger.
Excellent. So it is good to have some mechanical knowledge if you're going on the road, or be with someone who does. So suck up to all the people that you know who have bike knowledge if you plan on touring.
Yes.
Are there some basic things that a person should bring in a kit when they go touring? Let's say they go, even if they're on, say, a week-long trip. What do you guys think?
I guess it depends on your philosophy of touring.
Sorry, there's really loud trucks here.
Where are you? Are you standing on the street right now?
Just off the street, yeah, but there's like, I guess it's just a small strip town here, and there's trucks going back and forth.
Well, maybe I can ask you for a traffic report there, Ryan. What's the traffic like down there?
It's not too bad. Everybody was really warning us and me about, you know, cycling the Baja, and a couple people who have ridden it said it was really bad, but mostly it was people who drove it and said it's crazy, it'll never survive, it's nuts. But getting out of Tijuana was really bad. It's just a big city and people are driving like crazy there, but soon after that, it totally, the traffic isn't bad at all. It was like, you know, through Big Sur or other parts of California, there isn't a lot of shoulder, but there isn't too much traffic. Everybody gives you lots of room, and, mm-hmm. and everybody's really friendly.
Do you see many bicyclists on the road?
The only ones I've seen was a team of Mexican riders doing a training ride with a chase car right behind them.
With a chase car?
Yeah, like a sag wagon kind of thing, or okay. just driving right behind them, about eight of them.
Tailgating them.
Yep.
Okay. And what's it like cycling in Mexico at the moment? As far as, do you ride on the side of the street? Are there a lot of obstacles? Is it pretty easy going?
It varies a lot. Like, there'll be points where there's quite a nice shoulder and then none. Through the cities is the worst. There's no shoulder, and like where I am now, there's a parking lot. It's just a general store across from a hotel, and they don't pave any of that. Everything's dirt road.
Okay. Are drivers pretty aware?
On the highway, for sure, yeah.
Okay. Do you have any advice that you'd like to give to cyclists before we go back to the studio and let you go? For people who are considering touring.
Oh, just go. Pack up some stuff and go. Like,
why?
You can't plan for every eventuality and just get what you need. You can pick up stuff on the road.
Hmm,
I don't know. There's not much to it.
What's the best thing about touring?
Just not knowing where you're going to be at the end of each day and just the adventure of it.
Nice. Do you want to say anything to Kristen? She's right here.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going good. I miss you.
I miss you, too.
Stay safe.
Yeah, I will. I love you.
I love you, too.
I'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, thanks a lot, Ryan. Aw, biker love. Isn't that nice? Aw. So you can bond. I mean, usually when people go on car trips together, they end up hating each other. But cyclists, well, sometimes they hate each other. But
yeah, we had our moments, Tiffany, but mostly it was good.
Excellent. Okay, well, we're just going to run a little PSA here, and then we'll get back to talking more about touring.
Put yourself on, put yourself
on the last Friday of the month, the territory of the indigenous local cyclists is found echoing in downtown Vancouver. Thousands of cyclists have once again reclaimed the streets and spread the message.
To keep on, rock it, don't stop until the break of dawn. You can sing along, you can go the song. On down with the bounce for the ounce so long. To the devil, stay in rubble for the cars don't fall. Blinded by the weed and the alcohol, it won't help at all. Sitting at the mall with a rusted jaw, beaten by the law. I saw a world where the girls stay strong. The boys have respect, dialect for their mom. The dads of the lands had a plan for the fam, and through all they max a mag in the can. I hand the torch to the kids on the porch, giving them a yard the size of a golf course. Don't force the youth indoors. The truth in the end, you command yourself.
On the last Friday of the month, the territorial mating call of the indigenous local cyclists is heard echoing through downtown Vancouver. Thousands of cyclists have once again reclaimed the streets and scared belligerent motorists. But now, you wonder what is next. The night is still young, and you're feeling a little frisky. After all, there are only so many car tires you can peel in a day. Well, we have the solution. Velofusion Bicycle Dance Party. Burlesque, bands, dancing, DJs, and pirated movies. The last Friday of the month after Critical Mass. Come one, come all for a little primal rowdiness. Doors open at 7:30 p.m. The Answer Club.
Okay, and here we are back again on the Pedal Revolutionary Show, 101.9 FM, and Emily, we were speaking of bikers in love on the road together. How romantic. What's more romantic than that? I can't think of anything. Do you want to tell us a little bit about your traveling? Now, I understand you guys, there's something special about the way that you tour, a little bit different from the way that Kristen and Ryan were going.
My partner and I go on a tandem.
You go on a tandem?
Yes. Certainly gets attraction when you're traveling around that way.
Wow, so you're within touching distance.
Yeah, talking distance, times. Too, which is really good.
True, but then the person in front, it's hard for them to talk to the person. I guess they can turn around and look, because there's always somebody steering.
No, there's not. The person in front always has to face the front.
Okay.
Yeah, but you can talk. You can hear pretty well. Yeah, we hook it up with a radio.
You do?
Yep.
Like a radio for you to talk to each other?
Oh, no, no.
Or so for music?
We've got music.
Wow.
Yeah, you can hear pretty well in a tandem.
Nice. So you've got a website up as well if people want to go visit it. What's the address for that?
Oh, really long?
Okay. I've got it here.
Okay.
If anybody wants to go and check it out as you're listening, you can go to www.sfu.ca/littlefunnyswirl. What's with everybody in the Little Funny Swirl?
Tilde.
There's the word of the day. BWZARIKO/touring with a capital T, /countries. You can also send us an email or phone the station and we'll give you that website and it'll be up on the Pedal Revolutionary blog at some point. So where have you gone on your tandem?
Okay, most of Europe. And we went through New Zealand and around BC, of course.
And what was it like?
Where? It's also
anywhere.
Very different. Yeah. It's great. I love it. We've gone on 3 different international trips, and locally it's like, well, we don't have a car, so if we want to go somewhere, we go by bike, yeah.
And so when you were traveling in Europe, then what were some of the highlights for you?
Oh, my goodness. Well, everything. Like, it's hard to say. Everywhere is so very different. I loved Bulgaria. Highly recommend. Actually, I highly recommend most of Eastern Europe. Western Europe, we were there in the winter. And France, yes, it's very cold in December. But besides that, it's still crowded with tourists, even in the winter. But you go to Eastern Europe, it's not crowded with tourists. Everybody loves you.
And it's cheaper, right?
Totally cheaper. You can afford to go to the spa. And it's just incredibly inexpensive, yeah. And it's great. People are very friendly.
What did you like particularly about Bulgaria?
It was very clean, which I know sounds like not much, but it is. Everything was very clean. The food was great. It was inexpensive. The people were great.
And where did you stay? What were you saying as you were on the road?
We weren't camping because on a tandem you can't carry as much. Mm-hmm. And also there's added stress with camping. We camped across New Zealand and I was exhausted most of the time. Mm-hmm. And
Kristen's nodding her head.
So we stayed mainly in like pensions or most places we would hit the town. We'd head for their tourist information bureau where they have people have rooms in their houses, they advertise there. So we did that, yeah.
And you've got some really good information for people on your website. You've got stuff like recommended gear, like a whole list of like the exact clothes you could bring, things for cooking and stuff like that. That's
when we
great.
Were planning on going, our second trip was for 6 months and we were not going to camp that because it was like obviously over a change of season. So we were looking for information and everywhere, like, little sites had everything everywhere. It wasn't really easy. So we're like, well, we'll put it on our website so our friends, at least, if they're going, they have it all there, everything we learned. So.
And tell me more about New Zealand and the South Pacific places that you've been to.
It was just New Zealand.
Okay.
And it was nice as well. We went over Christmas, which is their nice season. They have very big winds. Now, in Vancouver, we were all afraid because we had those 80-kilometer winds. We were stuck in 120, like, head-on winds because we did a cycle tour around. So one way, the winds were at our back, and on the way the next time, like, on the way back, they were in our face.
Were you actually rolling forwards?
No, we were stranded.
Pedaling in place. Right?
Yeah. We learned that we had to go really early to avoid the winds.
Like, interesting.
Wake up early, avoid the winds, yeah.
Wow. Okay, there's some good advice.
Yep, and everything closes on Christmas Day. We didn't know that either, and we really didn't have any food. We had to eat out of a gas station, like
you
bread.
You had to eat gas for Christmas breakfast? That's horrible.
And dinner. It was like bread and ketchup is what we could find. Nothing was open. Like, actually, that's one thing I would say about Europe as well. Nothing in certain countries is open on a Sunday, so take that into consideration. If you don't want to carry all your food, at least know the customs so that you are not stuck without food.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good thing to be aware of, to check the holidays before you go.
Yeah.
when I was in Iran. I think I managed to hit the 20 days straight that they had. They had two holidays overlapping. So there were for 20 days I couldn't get money out of the bank.
Oh wow.
It was awesome. I made good friends at the black market. Anyway, okay, well that's do you have any other advice about things to take to eat? Maybe. What did you eat while
the last time we went with some vegans and who also have food allergies like no nuts. So we actually got a bunch of dehydrated food and carried that with us and carried a camp stove, which we never really ended up using that much. I'd say don't take a camp stove. We just ate fresh food all the time.
Okay.
And
did you want to speak to that, Kristen? Did you take a camp stove?
Oh, yes. Yeah, we cooked every day. But yeah, it definitely depends on your philosophy of touring and how much you want to carry, because people would look at us and thought we were carrying way too much stuff. Mm. People who camped over, like a lot of people camped over fires and stuff too, so there's definitely a way to do it without carrying all kinds of fancy gear.
Because you guys are vegans, right?
Yeah, we're vegans. Yeah, we didn't have any problems where we were, but we were, you know, in California. It's like very vegan friendly there, so yeah. But I can see why people don't carry stoves too, because you could just eat sandwiches. You know, because sometimes you're so hungry, you just want to have food. It doesn't matter what it is.
Yeah,
right?
we did that for like 6 months. We didn't carry a stove on our first big trip because we were wanting to go really light. Mm. And you know what? You can totally do it without a stove. It's nice if it's cold, but we weren't camping, so we didn't need to heat food up. And when we weren't camping, like we could set it up in a park or something like that, but it was just not as fun. You kind of just want to eat and then go out and look around.
So where do you want to go next?
I think we have a trip we want to do around BC. We're not sure. Brad's sister lives in Australia, so we're thinking hitting Asia on our way to Australia. So we're hoping. We don't know where. It depends on the flights. That's kind of how it's been so far.
Cool. Thank you very much. That's really excellent. And again, people can go and visit your website, which has a very long address, and we will put it on the Pedal Rev blog, which is pedalrev.blogspot.com, or you can send us an email at pedalrevolutionary@gmail.com. But that's excellent. Very exciting. The air travel brings up an interesting point, which I wanted to ask David about, too, because we had a conversation the other day that got me thinking. I've done a lot of traveling. You guys have done a lot of traveling, and we do it by air. And, of course, jet fuel is maybe worse than car fuel. So there are alternatives to taking a plane to where you want to go and getting on your bike. You could also, what are some of the alternatives, David? What are some of the ways that you would recommend?
Well, since I'm not going to fly anymore in my lifetime, there is, you can take container ships anywhere in the world. There, you can take them right out of Montreal to Liverpool, England. It's about 100 American a day, and a container ship usually carries 12 passengers. And there's maybe on the website we'll put the link. I do have a link that I saved from a couple of years ago. This gentleman has all the phone numbers to contact people, the shipping companies in Montreal. You do have to plan well in advance, about a year in advance in some cases, because the bookings take that long. And so that is another option to get to Europe if you wanted to go there.
I just wanted to add, we had some people staying at our house who contacted us through the warm showers list, which if people are touring, they should log on to that. You know what? I don't know the exact website, but if you Google warm showers, you will find it. It's a bicycle touring hospitality list. So we host a lot of people from around the world who are cycling, and a couple took a container ship from Japan and ended up in Vancouver, and they said it was the most amazing experience. They had a great time.
How many days did they say it took?
I think it took 16 days, and it wasn't cheaper than air, they said, but it was definitely an adventure, for sure. They were traveling around the world, so they had been on the road for 2 years, so they were just trying to get lots of different experiences.
Cool. Well, excellent. And, of course, also train is also an alternative if you're going to be going somewhere in North America. And you can either jump it or you can actually get a regular ticket. And some people do jump trains with their bikes. And then you just throw your bike off and jump off after it when you're ready to go. So I'd like to talk also to it's so nice that we're talking to people who've traveled with people that they love. And My friend Trevor McEwen is here, and he's actually gone touring with his son. Hi, Trevor. How you doing?
Oh, just wonderful. I feel like the odd man out here. I must be the only person who doesn't have a website dedicated to cycling. Before I forget, you asked the question, what do you need to carry on your bicycle trip?
Mm-hmm.
Zap straps and duct tape.
Mm-hmm, duct tape.
Duct tape has saved my life on several occasions.
Perhaps I've patched tubes with it.
Yes, you can do just about anything with duct tape if you need to. So yes, first trip I took was Edmonton back to Vancouver over the Yellowhead Highway through Tetuan Cache. My son, who was 13 at the time. It was a bit of a challenge between the two of us. We kept staring at each other saying, well, if you do it, I'll do it. And eventually we packed our bikes up and off we went. It rained perhaps the entire trip. We had gear for camping, but we didn't. We stayed in sleazy motels and one or two places in which I looked at my son and said, don't tell your mother that we're staying here. I suspect he probably did at some point. It was a wonderful, if you will, a bonding experience with my son. My son still has a bicycle and still continues to cycle. I've never been particularly careful about what sort of bike I use. I will cycle with anything. The more gears, the better, because I have long legs and I just like to work right up on them. I certainly like being out on the highways, on the freeways, and just zoning right out and putting as many kilometers under my wheels as I possibly can. And then falling over exhausted.
Mm-hmm. That feels good.
A great time, regardless of the rain. Having done that and proven to my son that he could actually cycle for it took us about 2.5 weeks, I think. We were in no great rush, and we took a few side trips as we came down. We cycled through Ireland, Scotland, and the UK, which was great fun. Strongly recommend you're going to Europe, and I think everyone will concur, doing it on a bicycle just drops that barrier between you and the locals. They're going to be much more friendly. I was in Paris in August. Now, you can cycle in Paris, you can cycle into Paris, and that is two entirely different experiences. I do not recommend cycling into Paris. It is a zoo. In Paris and in August is wonderful because all the locals are on vacation. And I didn't want to go there. My son insisted. I expected people to be incredibly rude because Parisians have that reputation. When you're on a bicycle, and if you're prepared to try and speak the best French you can, and my son and I, French is not particularly good. We entertained the French, and they reciprocated by being incredibly friendly. They would stop, give us directions. Literally, a block away from the Eiffel Tower, we had a grocery store owner, leave his store and walk with us down to the end of the block to point out the direction we had to go to head off to wherever it was
were heading. That's unheard of in Paris.
Oh, they were just so friendly. We came up our first night in Paris. As I say, we cycled into Paris, which was a zoo. We're stopped. The sun has just set. It's dark. The neon lights are all coming on. We can't read the street signs. We come to a stop. We were obviously tourists, and a cyclist coming up behind us in English asked us, if we needed help, where did we need to go? Which we did at that point because where we were heading was off of the map that I had. There was a number of places I found with our maps where we were heading was between the maps. The other thing I found, not so much in France, but certainly in Ireland and in England, is that you could ask anyone for directions and they would give them to you and they would invariably be wrong.
I think that's a kind of a universal thing.
Oh, boy, were they helpful. Friendly and willing to help, but not a clue what was over the next rise.
So would you say it's always good to carry your own maps and compass and protractor? And
I don't know about in Europe, I don't know if a compass is so important, but certainly the maps and several maps. In Ireland, I found they have a curious style of map. Where whether it is a highway or a byway or a road or an alley or a cow path, it'll have the same width of line on the map. And there was one notable occasion where we found ourselves in the middle of a cow field looking at the highway about a quarter of a kilometer away thinking, how do we get there from here? Well, we ended up carrying our bicycles, and it was just fine.
Excellent. Cyclocross. I see you nodding your head, Emily. You wanted to add something.
Actually, in Paris, I don't know if you knew this, but there's actually a cycle map for Paris that's really good, really detailed, and goes to all the areas. So we use that.
I did not have a cycle map.
Does it have the cow
actually,
paths on
France
it?
France has like ones for everywhere, but mostly they're just small, like if I was living in this area. But they have one that covers all of France, too, with these giant crisscrossing cycleways. And there's a Eurovelo, which also is signed all over the place, too. And I actually had to buy a compass when we were in Poland. The maps were so bad and so inaccurate that it was, like, sometimes easier just to, like, lay the compass down and try to figure out where the next town was.
Go as the crow flies. So we have just one last person on the air, and I'd like to just ask Pete Lipke really quickly. Hi, Pete. Are you there?
Hey, I'm here.
Hi. So you are a pretty brave man. You've actually toured by Fixie.
Yep.
So can you just tell us briefly what you would recommend to someone contemplating the lunacy of touring by Fixie?
Well, I think the number one thing is probably consider your weight and your gear, because some people like to ride in the city on a really hard gear, and you obviously don't want to do that if you've got any bags, because, you know, the more bags weigh you down, the slower you're going to go, and it's going to be hard going up a hill if you've got a hard gear. Now, I have a pretty comparatively easy gear on my bike, so I wasn't too worried, but I made sure I wasn't going to try and, you know, do a full touring setup with, like, four bags and whatever. I was traveling as light as possible. I had two medium-sized bags on the back.
Right. And you were naked, and you didn't eat.
Yeah.
Good
right.
call. And you shaved your head just to be on the safe side.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, cool. Thanks, Pete, for letting us know that. I just wanted to let people know that it is actually possible to tour. You could probably tour by tricycle.
Fun.
Yeah? What's fun about it?
Well, I mean, it's a new challenge. It's a new way to flip around the old thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's something interesting. It gets hard sometimes on the hill, but it's so satisfying when you just mash to the top of that next hill and you go, yeah, and then you got to spin down it. You know, it's fun.
Excellent. Well, thanks very much, Pete. And I just like to talk to us. Let everybody know what the events that are coming up are really quickly, because we've got tons of them. I'd like to just let you know, everyone, on Sunday, January the 21st, there's a ride. Actually, speaking of it, this is a day trip out to Stevenson from Science World. They're going to be meeting there at 9:45 a.m. for a 10 a.m. sharp departure. If you want more information about that, you could go to their website. You would go to http://bike.meetup.com/145. Also, there's going to be a Bicycle Bee brunch potluck. That's a planning meeting for the Bike Bee, which is going to be coming up February 10th and 11th. And the Bike Bee is a series of workshops. Our emphasis for this next one is going to be winter maintenance, so dirty drivetrains and worn down brakes. So this brunch meeting is going to be Sunday, January the 21st, also 2 o'clock p.m. at 794 East 21st Ave. You can go to bicyclebee.blogspot.com for more information. I just want to let everyone know that Tuesday, January 23rd, is the most depressing day of the year, so do try to get out on your bike if you're feeling sad, even if you just pedal around in a circle really slowly. Also, Midnight Mass is coming up Thursday, January the 25th, and to do that, you go to Grandview Park. That's at Commercial Drive in Charles. They meet at 11:45 p.m., and they ride at midnight. Friday, January the 26th, is Critical Mass, so if you want to ride on that, bring your bike, maybe wear a helmet and a bell and a light. And you're going to be meeting at 5:30 and 6. We ride at 6 p.m. It's the Rock and the Rush Hour. And after that is Velo Fusion. The theme for this month's Velo Fusion party is Rock the Jailhouse. It's a party for justice. It's a pre-trial benefit for environmental activist Betty Kraswick. Sorry?
Kratzik.
Oh, good. She's what?
She might be going to jail again,
so let's keep her out. That includes bands Fatty Fatty and the Roaches, Mr. M and the All-Nighters, DJ Timothy Wisdom, Little Woo, and Marnie Norwich. So that's at the Anza Club, 3 West 8th Avenue. Cost is $5 if you come with Critical Mass, $10 for others. For more information, you can go to www.pedalfusion.org. And also coming up is something called Attack SUV, which is January the 25th to the 28th at Robson and Hornby. That's outside the Art Gallery. By the way, that's the same place that Critical Mass meets. There's going to be an artist talk on the 24th. That's Wednesday. Basically, to give you make a long story short, a sport utility vehicle is still fuming after having exploded. This hyper-realistic scene depicts a terrorist act simultaneously incriminating the automobile industry, rampant consumerism, and governments. Three words that I don't like. Okay, so this is part of a series. So they've hit Montreal, Quebec City, Toronto, Calgary, and Ottawa. It's being put on by L'Action Terroriste Social Acceptable, or ATSA. And that's a couple of artists who are doing urban intervention. So you may want to give that a boo. Sounds kind of exciting. The public is invited to come to the scene of the crime 24 hours a day to discuss, film, or photograph the exhibit, or to meet the artists between 10 a.m. and 10 p.m. That's 10 to 6 on Sunday. You can also go to Grunt Gallery for more information. That's grunt.bc.ca. Actually, after Critical Mass, up until 11 p.m., in the lobby of the art gallery, you can actually see what's going on with that. The ATSA is doing a talk. Also, You Never Bike Alone is showing on the 27th of January. That's a Saturday, 7 p.m. at Cinemark Tinseltown Cinemas. That is, of course, a documentary about the Vancouver Critical Mass and bike culture that we have going, which is too busy for me to pack into a couple minutes. Tickets are $9 at the door. It's a great movie. I think we should all see it as much as possible and turn it into the Rocky Horror Picture Show. So bring your donuts for the June Mass scene. Bring flowers to throw for Jana Russell's... No, I'm just kidding. Okay. And also, let's see. Boy, gosh, there's a whole bunch of stuff happening with bikes inside. KDJ, you have an Alley Cat coming up. Do you just want to tell them your website address?
www.alley-kitten.blogspot.com. Come out, and it's called Operation Meow. Thank you.
And what's an alley kitten?
An alley kitten is an alley cat style race on mini bikes. Our definition of mini bikes is just loose. We like to have fun. 18-inch average wheel diameter.
Right.
And if you need to do that on three wheels, most people do two wheels, but three is... Choppers are great, mini bikes...
Everything is cool. Okay. And so to give people an idea, a 12-inch wheel is something like a 3- or 4-year-old might ride. A 16-inch wheel, which is the wheel that I choose, is about for a 6- or 7-year-old. But you could you could hypothetically speaking, have what? Like a 24 and a 12, right? Would that average to 18? I guess it would. Ooh.
And I ride bikes. Come on.
So this event is being co-sponsored by the Mini Bike Army?
Yes.
Right.
Because it is military-themed. It's called Operation Meow.
Meow! And who won the first race? When was the first race? And tell us a little bit about that.
The first race was called the Alley Kitten, and it was... the theme was children, and because it's children's bikes. And someone I know, a dear friend named Ifni, won that race first.
Oh my God.
Place.
She must have cheated.
No,
surely.
She didn't.
I've seen her bike. It's a piece of crap.
It is now.
It is now. Actually, it's true. It's trashed. The fur all came off. Well, that's excellent. So if people want... So tell us again, what day is it happening and where should people go?
Saturday, February 3rd, we're meeting in Victory Square, which is Hastings and Cambie, at 5:30. The race starts at 6:30. It's $5 because we are doing so much to make it so fun. But, you know, you can always talk to us if there's an issue. And bring your bike down. And hopefully a whole bunch of people will come and hang out in the park and wish the racers well off. And if you want to volunteer, you can reach us at the website, alley-kitten.blogspot.com.
Awesome. And, of course, that's going to be a part of Bikes Inside, which is a wintertime bike party happening on February the 3rd. There's going to be some DJs and a whole day of events, indoor bike polo and all sorts of things like that. Bike party. Okay. So thank you very much, everybody, for coming in. And it looks like we are, unfortunately, as usual, running out of time because the Bicycle Cup of Vancouver overfloweth. So everybody, please ride safe out there. Enjoy the ruts in the road. Why? Because it's training for train tracks. Okay, always take it at a good angle. And everybody stay safe and stay warm, and we'll see you in a couple weeks.
Woo! Woo! Logo ge, lo yang mangalisa. Logo ge, lo yang mangalisa. Mangi boni dandane, ea ihleli. Kapansi umchuzi, lo yang mangalisa. How, how, how.
Ay buza,
ay muzika malaya,
ay pendulanga,
ay pendulanga.
Ya bea pansi ya zekala, izinyembezi, izinyembezi. No matemba,
no matemba, wangishia, zelengetwa no matemba. No matemba, wangishia.
Mamu
no matemba wam,
mamu wangishira. Sikulile
selengetwa no matemba,